tonight, as we prepare our hearts for the Word, I just invite you to pray with me. This is not just a ritual that we do, and I know that not many preachers do this anymore. You know, they just start right in with a joke or something, but I just need to pray, and I think it's good for you to pray too, because I know that the condition of the heart makes all the difference in the world in whether or not you receive. So let's get our hearts ready. Father, we just come before you with humble hearts, Lord, and meekness, Lord. We are hungry and we acknowledge that we need something from you. Lord, we don't want to be like those who say we have need of nothing, but we need something tonight. And so, Lord, we ask that you speak to us. I ask, Father, that you would use me. And, Father, that by the Spirit of the Lord, that you would speak to each and every person here tonight, that they will receive truth that they need to overcome, to walk in victory. Lord, to win their fight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight we're going to start a brief series, a Wednesday night series, Learning How to Fight. And I just got to tell you, this is going to be kind of like 101, scratching the surface. I mean, those of you that are familiar with spiritual warfare and you've been in the thick of the battle for a long time, well, you're just going to have to say amen, because I'm telling you, there are a whole lot of people that need 101, all right? And so we're going to start with some basics, but if you didn't know this, we are in a spiritual war, and we as individuals, we need to know that. You yourself, you are in a battle, you're in a war. A lot of believers have just kind of been lulled to sleep, not really aware, not really ever given much thought to it. But whether you're aware or not, it's happening. Now, some people figure it out when they get blindsided. You know, when the devil attacks them or their family, and all of a sudden they realize that, hey, this battle is real. This fight is real. But you know, I found that even then, a lot of people don't really get it. Even then, things when their world just blows up, they don't think, I have an adversary. I'm in a fight. I'm in a battle. In fact, a lot of them think, why did God let this happen to me? Why did God do this? I don't understand. In fact, some people in our generation, you know, they go so far, they don't even think there really is a devil. Listen, there's not some guy with horns and a long tail and a pitchfork. No, he was that anointed cherub of heaven who was cast down by God. And he has set himself against the Most High. And listen, let me tell you how he's trying to get at the Most High: by attacking you. He wants to do you harm. And you need to know this. Listen, don't buy into this mentality of the religious world that acts like, well, you know, everything that happens, it must just be God's will. And don't buy into that mentality that, well, the devil's not really real, you know, that's all. Listen, you need to know that you have an adversary. Now, me and Jonathan have been talking about this a little bit in the last few weeks, because as awesome as it is to finally be in this building, we've had so many battles, just hard. I mean, most of you, you know, if you've been around very long, you've heard me talk about this, and you've seen this probably. You know, Jonathan is the golden child, you know. He's one of those that everything he touches turns to gold. You know, he walks into a store and they're given a $100 gift card to the 1,000th person, and he's that person. I mean, this kind of stuff happens to him. And most of us live our lives, it never happens to us once. It happens to him all the time, you know. But he told me this week, he said, Dad, every projector I've put up in this building, it's just, everything's gone wrong. had just battle after battle after battle. I'm talking about all kinds of little things, logistical things, but it's part of a bigger picture, and here it is. I'm telling you, the devil always fights the hardest against us when he knows that good things are coming. He's trying to stop the plan and purpose of God. He's trying to thwart what God is doing and is going to do in this place. So we know that we have an adversary. And I'm telling you that we need to be in the fight. We need to, as a church, we need to fight for one another. We need to be in prayer for one another. We need to stand in the gap for one another. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Now, if you don't believe the Bible, I mean, you can just believe whatever you want. But if you believe the Bible, this is what the Bible says. Be sober. Be vigilant. You got to be alert. You got to be ready, because there's an adversary. There's an enemy of your soul. It's not just throw caution to the wind and hope everything turns out all right. You're in a fight. By the way, if you don't think the devil's real, well, just look around you in this world. All that heartache and destruction that you see, that's his handiwork. That's not the work of God. How sick is that, that people blame all that on God? No, that's the work of the devil. I'm telling you, we need to know how to fight. The Word of God admonishes us to fight the good fight of faith. So, how do you fight? Well, the book of Ephesians is full of spiritual truths and so much good stuff in there for the church, all the way up through chapter 6, the last chapter, and the last half of the last chapter. This is what he says. Verse 10, he says, finally. Everything else has been leading up to this, and this is like he's getting to the most important thing here, all right? He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We get distracted by flesh and blood. We think that's where our battle is. That's not where our real fight is. No, our fight is against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. He says, finally, brethren, you got to get ready to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles, he's talking about the schemes, the tricks, the deceptions of Satan. Satan's plans to try to thwart the blessing of God and what God wants to do in your life. So you got to know how to fight. You know, one of Satan's greatest weapons is deception. You see it over and over and over. Jesus said that he was the father of lies. And he uses lies and deceptions all the time. So, the cure for deception, real simple. It's the Word of God. It's the truth. Amen? And when you know the truth, it sets you free. Deception will bind you up. Listen, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture tonight. How many of you love the Word of God? I like it. When the psalmist says, oh, how I love thy law. But you know, a lot of believers don't really love it anymore. They just want a little dab will do you, you know. Give me a scripture and tell me some stories, all right? But I'm just going to lay it on you tonight. Wednesday night's a little bit different, and I'm just not even going to be shy about it. I'm going to give you a bunch of scripture tonight, and we're still just kind of scratching the surface, but I just want to do this where we begin to understand the position that we are fighting from. We're fighting with the victory, church. You need to know that. You got to know what God has already done for you. You need to understand your place in Christ, that ultimately this war is already won. You can read the back of the book. We win, church. And you need to learn how to fight with the victory. Learn how to fight with this mentality that the war's already won. And you need to know what belongs to you in Christ. So we're going to go all the way back to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 3. Ephesians 1, beginning from verse 3. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." Did you know you've already been blessed? Notice the tense of the verb. It's, he has blessed us. You've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. This is something God has already done. He's already blessed you, whether you know it or not, whether you feel it or not. We've already been justified, sanctified, made righteous. If you're a born-again believer, you've been made righteous through the blood of Jesus. Verse 4, he says, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Already done. In fact, he says it was before the foundation of the world. He chose us. You realize God chose you? I'm talking about, this is the beginning place, okay? This is how you fight. You got to know this, that God chose you. And that you are holy. I'm talking to you. You're saying, "Pastor, you don't know me." I'm talking about what God has done in your life. Listen, you've been washed in the blood of Jesus. You've been set apart for God. You've been made holy and blameless. Blameless. People around you might be saying, "Shame on you." But I'm telling you, the scripture says that you are blameless. You see, God has already taken away your sin. He's taken away your guilt so that you could be holy and without blame before him in love. See, this is a fixed fight, because there is a God, Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. That's another one of those misconceptions people get about this spiritual battle, this spiritual warfare, is that it's like, well, here's God, and here's the devil. And man, it's this eternal cosmic struggle. Who's going to win, God or the devil? The devil is a created being. And the Bible says in Romans 16:20 that there's coming a time when the God of peace will crush Satan under your foot. I'm just telling you, this isn't some great cosmic struggle. Almighty God, he loves you. He chose you. He says you're blameless. And why do you think the devil even has a chance? Verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Do you notice that we've been adopted? Listen, we are his sons and daughters. You're a child of God. In this spiritual warfare, you need to always remember whose child you are. Now, most of us dads, we feel this way about our kids. You mess with my kid, you're messing with me. Right? I'm telling you, our Heavenly Father, He's watching out for us. And in this warfare, you need to know, I'm a child of God. I'm a son, a daughter of God. I belong to Him. He's already accepted me in the Beloved. I've already been redeemed. Verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. You see, it's important that if we're going to fight a spiritual warfare, you need to get the right mentality to start with, who you are in Christ and what God has already done for you. Verse 11 of that chapter, in Him also we've obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. You already, he says, obtained. That's past tense. You already have an inheritance. There are things that belong to you as a child of God. Things like peace and joy. Don't let the devil steal your joy. He doesn't have any right to it. You need to make up your mind that there's an inheritance that you have already obtained. Belongs to you. It's amazing how much time we spend fighting for things that already belong to us. Some people let the devil steal their birthright just because they don't realize what belongs to them. So we need our eyes opened to our position in Christ. Let me say that another way, because I know to some people that's just strange terminology. We need our eyes open to what belongs to us as a child of God, as a believer. We're going to read verses 17 through 23. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, now this is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. He says that He may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. There's that inheritance again. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. Did you know there's great power toward us who believe? How much power? Well, it tells us, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in your life. I'm telling you again, the devil doesn't have a chance. God is at work in your life with the same kind of resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead. But we got to have our eyes open to it. We need to understand who we are in Christ. Let's keep reading. And seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one that's to come. Listen, notice here what He's talking about, this power and might and dominion and principality. It's the same kind of language He was using in Ephesians chapter 6 when He was talking about that's where our fight is. Not with flesh and blood, but it's against spiritual wickedness in high places. And you see, we need to know this. All of that is all under the feet of Jesus. He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Now, if the church, what's the church? It's not this building, it's us, right? And the Bible says the church is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. And if the devil and all the principalities and powers and dominion, if all that is under his feet, then it's under the church too. See, you got to know this. You're not some insignificant, unimportant, powerless nothing. You are a blood-bought child of God with all the authority and the power of God backing you up. And that's, listen, when you fight knowing that, that changes everything. He's far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named. See, what name ever comes against you? Fear? All kinds of things. Listen, sickness, disease, rebellion, pride of man, all kinds of names you can list. I'm telling you, every one of them, Jesus' name is above every name. You see, you got to know who you are in Christ. Now, without him, we'd be nothing, amen? But we're not without him. In fact, we're in him. I'm going to jump to the next chapter, Ephesians 2:6, and it says, he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to understand this. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And spiritually, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why does it say seated? Because it's a position of rest. I've mentioned several times your position in Christ. And I'm telling you, it is a place of rest. And the first thing you need to know about this spiritual warfare is that you got to learn to rest in what God has already done. The hard part's already been done. It's already been won. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And the Bible says that he made an open show of the powers of darkness. He embarrassed them. And he did it for you and me. It's a fixed fight. We have been forever freed from Satan's power, from Satan's authority, from Satan's dominion. Colossians 1:13, it says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed, translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Listen, we've been delivered from the dominion, the authority of darkness. Satan no longer has any authority in your life. And you need to know this as a child of God. He doesn't have any right, no authority to bind us up, to condemn us, to bring destruction in our lives. Listen, unless we allow it. But I'm telling you, he doesn't have any right to it. We've been delivered from his power. It's all because of what Jesus has already done, not anything we do. Here's some familiar verses, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. See, it's what God has done. It's not anything we've done. This is it. We got to learn to rest in what God has already done. It's grace. We know who we are in Christ. You know, that should never make us arrogant. In fact, it should make us humble, because it's all what God did and nothing what we did. All we did was believe. We just received by faith. We are saved by grace through faith. All we did was believe. But God did it all. And it ought to forever keep us humble before Him because of all that He's done for us. We didn't earn it. You can't earn it. Can't get good enough or deserve it. That's why it's called grace. We just accept it and rest in what He's done. You need to get this. Your righteousness is a free gift. We're not trying to be righteous. God made us righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you why that's so important for you to know when you're in a spiritual fight. Because as long as you feel guilt and condemnation, the enemy will talk you into accepting things that you shouldn't have to put up with. As long as you don't believe that God wants you to be blessed, you'll put up with a thief coming to steal, kill, and destroy. Listen to this from Proverbs 28:1. It says, "The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as lions." See, the wicked, even when nobody's after them, they're still running scared, expecting something bad to happen. And you know, that's where a lot of believers are. They're just running scared. And it's because they don't realize that they're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not because they're good, but because of what Jesus has already done for them. And what did it say? It said, the righteous are bold as lions. You see, you get all that that shame and guilt, you get all that condemnation off of you, you'll be bold in the fight. But as long as you're going around saying, well, you know, I didn't pray enough, and you know, I got mad the other day on the freeway, and you know, and I talked ugly to my kids, and you know, and God, do you care if I pray? And the devil's just coming in and beating up on you the whole time. You just need to stand up in the forgiveness, the grace, the righteousness that's already been provided for you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all quiet on me. But I'm telling you, we need to get this. You need to see who you are in Christ. You need to fight from a position of victory and strength that God is backing you up. See, when you know you're right with God, how are you right with God? Well, I did everything right. No, you didn't. Now, the only way you're right with God is because of the blood of Jesus, who washes you and cleanses you from all unrightness. And when you know that you are right with God, then you are as bold as a lion. Listen, love these verses. Romans 8:31 through 34. If God is for us, who can be against us? See, if you know that God is backing you up, that changes the fight. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Well, I'll tell you. Who's he that condemns? It's a rhetorical question. I mean, the point of the question is that nobody can condemn you if God justifies you. Do you know that God justifies you? Then nobody can condemn you. But I know who tries. It's the accuser of the brethren. It's Satan. And he's always accusing, always trying to tear you down, to make you think that you're some scuzz of the earth, that you don't deserve a blessing of God, and you're nobody, and you're nothing, because that's the only way he can beat you. God's for you, who can be against you? If God's for you, does it matter if Satan and all the powers of hell showed up at your door? Not if God's for you. And he's for you. Sometimes we just feel unworthy. You know why? Because we are. Apart from the blood of Jesus, we are unworthy. Sometimes we feel so guilty because apart from the blood of Jesus, we are so guilty. But I'm telling you, you don't walk by your feelings. You stand in faith on the Word of God and what God has already done for you, what He's already paid for you. And Satan, that deceiver and liar, I'm telling you, he wants to keep people in the dark about what God's done for them so that he can keep them under. Child of God, you are not under his dominion any longer. You are no longer under his authority in any way. And you begin to win the fight when you know what God has already done for you and you learn to rest in that. The battle's already been won. You rest in your relationship with God and what he's done for you in Christ. You know, you can't even live for God until you accept by faith what he's done for you. You sure can't fight this spiritual battle and win until you accept what God has done for you. He's already taking care of the hard part. The battle's already really been won. So you can't pay for something that's already been paid for. Well, a lot of people try. But if it's already been paid for, you can't pay for it. You can't buy a gift. You can buy a gift for somebody else, but I'm saying, listen, if somebody wants to give you a gift, but you got to buy it, it sounds like a telemarketer to me, but anyway, I'm just telling you, listen, God doesn't work that way. He's given you a gift of salvation and freedom and victory. You are his child, his son, his daughter. I'm just telling you, you don't have to earn it. You don't have to buy it. You need to learn to rest in it and know that God's already given you the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So don't let the devil fight you over something that's already yours. Rest in him. Now, you need to become a student of the Scripture. You want to learn how to fight this spiritual battle? You need to become a student of the Word of God. Because what the pastor gives you on a few Wednesday nights, we're just scratching the surface. And I'm telling you, even this first message about who you are in Christ and what already belongs to you, how can you know that if you don't know the Scriptures? And I'm just saying that not to belittle you, but to challenge you to dig in. See what belongs to you. How about Isaiah 53 and 5? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we were healed. I love this. Written hundreds and hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus Christ. But the most fantastic prophecy of Jesus found in Isaiah 53. And he says all this in past tense. It's all already done. It's all already taken care of. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. You see, God's forgiveness already belongs to you. That peace, it's already been paid for. And healing has already been provided. By his stripes, you were healed. Do you realize what belongs to you? Now, I know this, that the devil will fight you over these promises. But you need to know and understand, your only real fight here is to believe. That's it. Listen, if just a couple of you get that, it'll help you. I'm just telling you. Your only real fight here with these promises is just to believe. If you'll believe, the fight's over. That's all you have to do. All things are possible to him that believes. And you get to the place where you just believe these promises. I'm telling you, the devil doesn't have anything else to stand on. That's why he always is working through deception and lies and trying to tear you down. Because he knows that if you believe what the Bible says, he's already lost. How much belongs to us, church? It's already been paid for, already provided. So accept the promises of God by faith that he's already done it. Realize that your adversary, your enemy, is trying to get an advantage of you by making you struggle with what's already yours. You're more than a conqueror through him who loved you. You just read the Bible, and over you see these things. We overcome. How do we overcome? By faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. But over and over, the Scripture says that we already have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're more than conquerors. And I just want you to understand tonight, it is from that position being in heavenly places, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, a place of rest. It's from that position that we have power over all the power of the enemy. Here's a popular verse that's often quoted, but I usually just hear people quote the second part of the verse, James 4:7. It says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And it's one of those verses I think you just can't leave off the first part. I mean, some things can stand alone, but I'm just telling you that you got to get both parts of this verse or it doesn't work. You can resist the devil all you want to. If you don't submit yourself to God first, you don't have any power, any authority over the devil. You see, but when you submit yourself to God, when you put yourself under God's authority, when you put yourself under the lordship of Jesus Christ, then you resist the devil. And what's going to happen? Well, you're going to have a big, long fight. That's not what it says. It says he's going to flee from you. Why? Because he doesn't have any authority, any power against a blood-bought child of God who's submitted their life to the authority of the King. So I want you to understand tonight, it is a fixed fight. There's going to be battles, but we're fighting with a victory. Remember this, Satan has been booted right out of heaven. But you and I have been invited in. And I'm not talking about when we die. No, the Bible says in Hebrews that there is a new and living way opened for us so that we can come into the holy place. In fact, in Hebrews 4:16, it says that we can come boldly. We can come with confidence to the throne of grace. Satan's been booted out. But we have access. Because of the blood of Jesus, we come with a confidence by faith, into the throne room of Almighty God. Satan doesn't have access there. That's where the real power is. And you have access there. You can find grace to help in your time of need. I'm just telling you, it's a fixed fight, church. God's for you. who can be against you? So the first thing that you need to know about this fight, how to fight, is that you can rest in what Jesus has already done for you. See, we don't need to get fearful. You talk about spiritual warfare. We don't need to get fearful. We don't need to get all upset or, oh, what is this? Listen, I'm just telling you, first thing you need to know is pretty simple, that God's already taking care of the hard part. And we just need to learn to trust Him and to rest in what He's done for us. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray. Father, I just thank You for all that's available to us in Christ Jesus. I thank You, Lord, that through the blood of the Lord Jesus, You have taken away our shame, our sin, our guilt. Lord, that You have made us righteous in Your sight, blameless. You've accepted us in the Beloved. I pray, Father, for my brothers and sisters tonight. Lord, for those who have struggled with guilt and condemnation, those who, Lord, have just allowed the enemy to run roughshod over them, Lord, because they didn't feel like they deserve the blessings of God. I pray, Father, tonight, in Jesus' name, Lord, they'll just accept all that You did for them. Lord, they'll just learn to rest in it and trust You. And Father, we just call a halt to the work of the enemy in these lives tonight. Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name for a great victory, for a turnaround. Father, I pray that like a breath of fresh air, Lord, there just come a release of victory, of blessings in the name of Jesus. Lord, those who have been struggling with stress, that peace will just come on them in the name of Jesus. Lord, those that have been just under a load of depression, lacking joy, I pray that joy would just come upon them in Jesus' name. Lord, we just receive the promise of Your word. Jesus, You said You want our joy to be full. And so, Lord, we just believe we receive that tonight. Oh, Lord, because of all that You've done for us. Lord, I just pray for healing over this body. Lord, that the enemy will not have his way in any person's life here, but healing and health be ours through the blood of the Lord Jesus, the stripes that He bore. Lord, I pray for those that have been bound up, Lord, by some addiction or sin. Lord, that in Jesus' name they're free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed, in Jesus' name. We died with Christ. How can we live in it any longer? Father, I thank You for the truth of Your word, that we're free in Jesus' name. Oh, Father, and I just pray that tonight, Lord, that we'll set out on a course, Lord, to fight this fight of faith, Lord, with victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'd like to give you the opportunity as we dismiss tonight, if you'd like special prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you, whatever your need might be. But tonight, as you go, go with victory. Amen. Love one another. Be a blessing to somebody, would you? Amen. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.